Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Absolutely, and with today being Wednesday, we have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today. But first, we're going to do a market report and just see what these precious metals are doing. And another good day for gold, and up $12.90, $1,829. Silver was up just a couple of pennies today, but $24.12. Platinum was up $10 at $1,015. And palladium was up $13 at $2,424. The USDX today was down 0.09 at 91.09. Crude oil was up 66 cents at 45.21. And the Dow, there's very little movement in the markets today. The Dow up 60 points, 29,885. NASDAQ was up 5 points. Was down 5 points, 12,349. But the S&P was up six, at 3,669. 10-year yield, 0.95%. So that continues to creep up there a little bit. London was up 1.25% overnight. Everything else was fairly quiet. And, we do see Bitcoin continue to rise. That'll be approaching and hitting 20,000 here in just a little bit. But where she goes, no one knows. I think that was the old saying, something like that anyway. But let's go ahead and get to Wendy Wilson. I know since we didn't have a program last Wednesday, I bet she's got a lot of things to tell us. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hey, did we talk about the inconsistencies of pandemics? Have we talked about that yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Wired News actually released this report. It was really interesting on how the homeless people are doing with the COVID-19 pandemic. And we don't hear much about this aspect of the pandemic in reports. So some alternative
news... That's because they live outside.
Well, yeah. Well, some alternative news outlets have, asked if hospitals are accepting homeless people, sick with the virus, or if there are any homeless people sick with the virus at all. Now, since the homeless are kind of challenged to follow the guidelines that the CDC has set out, how can the homeless shelter in place? Seriously. And why are we not hearing about thousands of homeless people being treated for COVID-19? Because obviously they're at greater risk. These are questions we're going to try to answer, okay? Now, These unhoused populations called our homeless folks, it would seem kind of logical to think if COVID-19 is so deadly, especially for people with underlying health conditions, why are the homeless not dropping like flies, Why are not we not hearing about this? Homeless people really don't have the best health, and they don't have the best hygiene, so they are more vulnerable to this type of infection, right? So, for the most part, we are, talking about unlivable conditions, which would give disease a big foothold, a big advantage. So, some might assume, the homeless go to the homeless shelters. Well, at first that seems like, a good answer, but the homeless shelters are not set up for the social distancing, and living conditions in shelters are more extreme. So, in the midst of this COVID pandemic, most of these shelters are either full to capacity or they're closed. There's no in between. So, one report said that during the pandemic, 5 million Americans quietly slipped into poverty. And there would not be enough shelters for them all. And even if there were, people are so kind of panicked about this virus, they may avoid a shelter. Now, shelters have, cots, they have toilets, but maybe not toilet paper, or maybe not soap. So the poverty-stricken can't even panhandle on the street due to the lockdowns and the social distancing. So where would the homeless person find a bathroom? Well, the normal places are essentially closed now, such as libraries, gyms, fast food restaurants. You can't go into a fast food restaurant. It's all drive-through. You can't go inside. And this is where a lot of the bar homeless would kind of hit the toilet from time to time. Now, even the soup kitchens are closed because they have no food volunteers and no food, no volunteers right now. So also, there's some reports that the new homeless in our society are sleeping in parking lots in Las Vegas. So now, there are some online survival forums out there. They've suggested the homeless go into the woods and seek shelter there. Like, that's very helpful, right? They say they can use leaves for toilet paper. And a pile of leaves, they say, can insulate them from the cold. Now, for the homeless, there is really no place to quarantine. Think about it. Here's a quote from Professor Margot Kuschel. She's a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. She says the homelessness is incompatible with health, and during a pandemic, it's never been even truer than that. She says a pandemic is a crisis, but for the homeless, it's a crisis superimposed on an existing crisis. So unhoused people, she says, are among the most sick in society. How are they supposed, you know, to physically be capable of following any pandemic directives? And the most basic one is stay at home. So she goes on to say, the homelessness survive in mass together. They tend to support one another. They network. So they survive, you know, in close proximity to one another. And it's impossible to social distance and survive this way. She goes on to say, most homeless shelters do not have the kind of space to distance people 10 feet apart or even 6 feet apart. And even if they could comply with that, it means more homeless would remain outside, which is true. Well, let's just go with the count for a minute, because the governor of California is saying they estimate to have 60 million homeless in their state, and 2/3 are living outdoors, which is twice the national average. So
how many does California claim to have homeless?
60 million.
Homeless?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, that's
not in poverty, but homeless.
Homeless. Well, that's what the governor of California said. But
60 million.
That could have been an exaggerated figure.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, anyway, so they say they're... So why are the homeless not being mentioned in the COVID-19 cases? You know, the homeless network to survive, to meet basic needs. So therefore, they congregate. And in many instances, there are mass eating events when food is brought in. Sometimes one of the homeless people will kind of get an abundance of food and they'll share it with their homeless community. Okay. So they all eat together. And Drew, now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going back to that. If there's 60 million homeless, the people in California should be ashamed of themselves.
All right. Yeah. Where are they going? Where are all these people going? You know, there's not enough shelters. Now, Drew Capone, he's a water sanitation and hygiene researcher at Georgia Tech. He says this. We saw in our research in Atlanta that most open defecation happens within 400 feet of a soup kitchen. He said, no hand sanitizers there, and most public places are not allowing the homeless in to use a toilet. So the conditions of the homeless would leave a healthy person vulnerable catching a disease like COVID-19, and unhoused people tend to not be healthy. So let's look at some of the first needs. According to Professor Kuschel, she says the homeless first tried to secure food and a place to sleep. The healthy behaviors would become later. So Professor Kuschel also explains the homeless tend to suffer from these types of conditions, which make them more vulnerable to illness. They typically have lung disease and heart disease. They have high blood pressure, cancer, and their age. She says half of the homeless are over 50 years of age. That's astonishing. So these are nearly all the conditions the medical community, you know, the lungs, the heart, the high blood pressure, the cancer, these are all the conditions the medical community is telling us makes you more likely to catch COVID. So Professor Kuschel is also saying that homelessness is hard on the body. So a homeless person, Melody, at the age of 50 is physiologically speaking really the age of 70 or 80.
Wow.
Right? So, well, here's Nan Roman. He's a CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness, who says unsheltered women suffer more serious medical conditions such as poor mental health and drug addictions. And I've heard this from a couple of people I've talked to over the years, that these shelters are really bad. There's no locks on the doors. Men can come and go, you know, so there's really not a whole lot of privacy. It's really kind of scary. Now, I want you to wrap your brain around this now, okay? Due to the COVID-19, the homeless at these shelters, they're not allowed to have any hot meals, only cold bagels, pizza, and sandwiches. Now, the homeless used to look forward to a hot breakfast, maybe a shower at the shelters, and then, you know, they had to leave during the day. But restrictions now apply because of COVID-19. Hmm. Isn't that astonishing?
Really?
Well, how did a virus change the ability to serve something hot? I mean, if you want something hot, you could throw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in a microwave and make it hot. But, you know, why all of a sudden they can't have a hot bowl of soup or some hot scrambled eggs? What's the deal?
Yeah.
Well, now, again, back to the number count. So if the conditions for contracting COVID-19 are exponentially higher if you are a homeless person, why are the homeless not dropping like flies on the street, and why is the media not reporting that? Now, one report did state this. Now, let me see if you buy this, Melanie. One report did state that the cities are putting homeless people in RVs to contain the risk of spreading the virus. I don't think so.
I don't see
RVs lining the streets. Do you see recreational vehicles lining the streets of California? I don't think so. There's not enough RVs over there. So, I mean, I feel for these people. I really do. So we got to keep them in prayer and in mind, and make donations when possible, you know, to help them out. Cause,
absolutely.
There's probably a local shelter that you can donate to if it's open, you know.
Well, I don't know. If they have RVs, do they really need donations?
Well, no. I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I mean, the homeless, you know. I mean,
I'm just kidding.
Maybe, you know, if you're in California, you can't pay your mortgage, let me become homeless and I'll get an RV, you know.
An RV.
I don't know. But the point is, we should all be working hard to keep our immune system strong. With a mineral-rich food diet, it supports your immune system, because a lot of internal medicine disorders are because we're devoid of enough minerals that we're not getting. So plant-based sources are really excellent, and they're chemically balanced. The chemistry is right. Nature did that, and they work really well in the body, and you don't have to do mega doses of things. So if anybody's interested, then give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We have a nice plant-based powder. You could just make a smoothie with it, or you can stir it into anything like juice or tomato juice, vegetable juice, and it'll cover your vitamins, amino acids, 22 amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and your plant protein for the day. So it really does boost the body. It's just, if you're low in minerals and you take something like this that's plant-based, you feel it right away.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, a lot
of people love that product that you have.
Yeah, a lot of people like it because it helps them deal with stress, you know. Because we do put in what is called nutritional yeast flakes. Now, it doesn't create candida in the body, but it is grown on beetroot, and it creates its own natural vitamin B, so you don't have to do the synthetic vitamin B. So B is real important for a nervous system, especially when people feeling a little anxious and uncertain these days. It's why it helps them deal with stress better.
Mm.
Yeah, so I just think if we're just smart and but look after our health. We're having to do that more and more, aren't we now? We can't just, you know, rely on other parties these days, especially. Oh, and the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine coming out of London. Oh my goodness, they had some real problems. Experts are like hairy eyeball with the clinical report on it. And they're just about to release this thing. What they did is they had two different clinical trials in two different countries with this vaccine. And what they did is, in a nutshell, they picked what they like from each trial and pieced it together into one report.
Oh, my.
And that's not how you do clinical trials, see. And basically, the three big companies that are, you know, got to the clinical trial realm, they all had to suspend their clinical trials for a time. They had issues.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Interpol came out and issued a global alert to various law agencies saying that organized crime networks may try to sell the fake vaccine, or they might even steal the real stuff.
Well, the fake vaccine may be safer.
Maybe.
I don't know. It may be just saline solution in that vial. I don't know. That's safer. That's really safer. Yeah, I know people are kind of really concerned about the vaccine, but I guess, you know, people say, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I think it depends on who's going to stay in office, you know, and the atmosphere, you know, of it all. So I think if Biden's in office, yeah, I think the push to mandate stuff will be, you know, a little on that side of the spectrum.
Oh, absolutely.
And if he's not, I think we'll have a choice. You know, you can, there's a vaccine if you want it, and there's therapeutics if you want it. So it just,
well,
depends.
I think either way, it's going to be, you're going to start seeing employers, because I've been reading about that more and more employers are beginning to ask, you know, how do we, you know, get the employees vaccinated, and how can we get them the vaccine? Some of them are even, Ford, I think, is designing or bringing in the refrigeration in order to store it.
Right.
So there's a lot of them that are doing that. So it's just a matter of time until it's like, get your shot or you don't work.
Well, I'm lucky. I work for a really nice boss. She's not going to make us get a shot at all. Mm. That would be me. So, yeah. No, we're not going there. We're not. Just not. Well, you know, if people are interested in how they can, you know, be more and, you know, proactive with their health, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs and we'll send you a free product catalog. And in the catalog is a little bit of a guide. You can see what you might want to, you know, deal with and help yourself with. But we have questions, and so you can email or call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. The number's toll free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Thank
Always
you, Wendy.
See you later.
All righty. Thank you, Wendy. We'll see you next week, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I got one little special here. I've got some pretty circulated 90% silver. Most of them are 50-cent pieces. There's some quarters and stuff in there and whatnot. And I probably have about, because what happens is we pull out the really worn product. It doesn't really, when you buy 90% silver in a full bag of $1,000 face value, you get $1,000 face value, and you have the weight of the silver. Even though the coinage is circulated, you'll have coins in there that will look uncirculated, and you'll have coins in there that will be pretty worn. But when you weigh the bag, it weighs what it's supposed to weigh, and you're getting the correct silver that you're supposed to get, because it's based on the amount of silver in a circulated value. So you're getting the right price. But sometimes we really do try to pull out the more worn ones and so forth, so you still get a very nice bag of 90% silver. So then we have these coins laying around, and I'll sell them with specials and so forth. And I have one small little bag, $100 face value. $100 face value. Spot right now is $24.15. I'll sell it one bag altogether. I'm not going to break it up or anything like that. It's $100 face value. It would sell for $17.28. Times, so you're looking at $1,728. So, plus shipping. You will be paying shipping on that. And with that amount of weight, we'll probably do a little bit more in shipping since we're selling it to you at spot. You're going to be looking at $1,758. So if you want it, you better call quick, because there's only one of those available. And so I'm sure that's gone. Just tell Carla, because I didn't tell her this prior going on to the program, that I was running this special. So I hope she don't lock a lot in. So make sure you tell her there's only one when you call. But anyway, so 800-375-4188. And let's see, what do we have to talk about? You know, we talk a lot about jobs. And yesterday we talked a little bit, and we've seen that companies had added fewer jobs in November than forecasted. And again, we're seeing this deceleration in hiring as we continue to see these governments, local governments, begin to impose new restrictions. Business payrolls increased just by 307,000 during the month. This is the smallest advance since the 216,000 reported for July. And of course, this is the report by ADP and Moody's Analytics that comes out prior to the jobs report on Friday. So November's 307,000 estimate is 30% lower than what the median projection of economists had called for. The slower than expected pace of hiring still illustrates that the labor market's uneven rebound as we continue to see, again, these new restrictions on restaurants, retail, and travel. So we're still seeing, we did talk about another round of fiscal relief, but I wouldn't hold your breath on that getting done, Dave.
Yeah, and if you do hold your breath, I'd have somebody nearby to revive you, because you're almost certainly to pass out before any kind of deal is made. Now, I'm going to say that now, using some reverse psychology, and tomorrow we'll be talking about the new stimulus agreement that they've come to head ahead on, but today's data precede the Department of Labor's monthly jobs report on Friday, as Melody mentioned, which is forecast to show private payrolls increasing by a healthier 486,000 after a 638,000 gain in October. Now, in November, service provider employment increased by 276K. That's reflecting gains in leisure and hospitality, healthcare, and business services. Payrolls at good producers rose 31,000. It's including a 22,000 gain at construction firms. Payrolls at small, medium, and large businesses all increased, with the biggest advance coming at medium-sized firms. Those with between 50 and 499 employees. Melody, back to you.
All right. Well, what's interesting to watch are these long-term Treasury yields. And, you know, we saw them jump yesterday. We saw them jump today. And investors are selling. And where they're going is they want to join the risk party that is in these financial markets. Bond investors been skeptical about the prospects for growth and inflation in the U.S., but with the good news on the vaccines, global manufacturing data, and holiday retail, they look at that as all good news. Holiday retail sales pushed yields on the 10-year Treasury note up by the most in nearly a month. Yields on the 10-year jumped by more than 9 basis points to 0.938%, and this is the highest since November 12th. While the spread between the 2-year and the 10-year yields, that widened to the largest since the same date. So we're looking for that 10-year to, it's knocking on the door 1%, and we haven't seen that level since March before the stock market crashed. So it's going to be interesting to see where this leads and what happens thereafter, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand why more of these bond investors fleeing. Well, I mean, they're fleeing to risk in general, not just fleeing bonds per se. So it sort of answers my question: why aren't they jumping toward gold and silver?
Yes.
More, but
they will.
Seems to be an either or proposition.
And they will in the droves.
Yeah, indeed. But, you know, with investors taking money out of their treasuries, instead of moving them into these precious metals, they're moving into equities and other areas of the market that had previously been deemed too risky. Europe and the emerging markets have been beaten up a lot, and that's where the money is starting to go, where people feel they can put a little risk back out there. The Institute of International Finance estimates that emerging market securities attracted almost $77 billion in November alone. That's more than triple the $23.5 billion flow into those funds the month before. As a result, the fourth quarter is likely to be the strongest for emerging market inflows since the first quarter of 2013. And more Wall Street analysts are jumping on the bull bandwagon, Melody. Barclays, for example, released a bunch of notes to its clients late last night touting their expectations for equity prices to continue higher. They project a drift higher in core fixed income yields and for emerging markets to do well. There's the momentum we see as we speak.
But you know, it's always the same story.
Oh, it is.
I mean, it's the same program. All before it all crashes and everybody loses their keisters. It's over. So to some degree, the markets are really doing what they do. They've done it before. Investors do the same thing. They go from here from to there looking for higher yields, and they go into higher risks and thinking that nothing can harm them, that they're smarter than everybody else. And they start feeling a little bit of, they could get a little cocky in their investing, and the next thing you know, they never sell. They never sell what's making the profit and put it into something that's safe like gold and silver. And then they end up losing everything. And I think, Dave, sometimes I think people like to talk more about their losses that they incurred than their gains that they make, I think. Everybody always says, you know, how much they bought. You know what I'm saying? We saw that a lot in 2009 when the markets went down so much. And so again, this is what happens. You know, smart money takes their money out. Not so smart money does this. Right, Dave?
Yeah, well, stubborn money for sure. You know, it's just psychologists know that it's hard for people to acknowledge a mistake, particularly mistakes that affect our own pocketbooks. So you've got to be your own best and most fervent watchdog. You've got to be your check on reality. You've got to be the one who says, maybe I just wasn't thinking right. I should have listened to that Cederstrom.
Well, it's okay.
It's never too late, though.
I mean, it's okay to invest and okay to play in the market. It's a gambling casino. But if you treat it like that, you'll do all right. You won't, you know, if you pull out your profits just like you do when you gamble at the casino table, the ones who lose are the ones that keep riding. But you got to pull out your money and take your profit. And have strike points or what your profit is. And make sure that it's not too, you know, far out there that, you know, you never reach it. So, and most investors are not disciplined. It's just human nature. And that's what the casinos bet on. And trust me, they're making far more money than you'll ever make. And just like how many winners do you see coming out of Las Vegas? There's more losers than winners, and Wall Street's no different.
And
so,
yeah. How many people win Mega Millions?
Yeah.
Sometimes one.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes none.
Mm-hmm. So it's all gambling, ladies and gentlemen. And there's always those days when, you know, the house comes in to make sure they can pay their bills. We've seen investors are also pulling out of the dollar. We've been talking about the dollar falling. The bid for European and emerging market stocks, that means investors are pulling funds out of dollars and they're putting them into other currencies. That combined with expectations of more monetary policy easing from the Fed. And, of course, there's no end in sight for the zero interest rate policy. It has all pushed the dollar to its lowest level since April of 2018. And it's going to go lower than that. The dollar index that tracks its value against the six other major global currencies, the USDX, fell to a 2.5-year low of 91.13. So everyone's betting that traders are betting the slide's going to continue as Net Short bets that the dollar will fall and value rose to the highest level since late October. Well, that's good news for gold.
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, so if you're going to be shorting the dollar, just make sure you can back it up with gold. Because those are very dangerous markets when you short. And make sure you have enough to, you know, cover any of your losses. But yeah, it's great news for gold. We saw the dollar fall to its lowest level against the euro and the New Zealand dollar yesterday. The value of the net short dollar position hit $24.3 billion in the week ending November 24th, Dave. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Aside from perhaps a week-long, I'm not even going to call it a rebound, just a reversal. The dollar's been on a slide since earlier this year, and more than that, excuse me, the big boys, the too big to fails, who I follow a lot in terms of their foreign exchange positions, see the dollar sliding between as much as 10 to over, slightly over 20% in 2021. So if that's a trend that as the dollar typically does, it doesn't usually take such a sudden steep dive. Boy, really looks, I mean, it positions gold in particular, but all the precious metals for a nice ride upward next year.
And you also have to remember, too, as that dollar is falling 10 to 20%, I think that'll be minimum of what it eventually falls, but we'll just take that at the moment. Look at the other side of the coin, no pun intended. What else is happening in order to push that dollar down that 20%? Things aren't going to remain as is. You will see other reactions. You should see the stock market crashing. So, again, look at why it's going down, why they're expecting it to go down. We know why. I mean, we talk about it all the time, how the dollar loses value because there's too much money into the system. But here, your too big to fail banks, as Dave was talking about, they're betting on 10 to 20%. So there's a lot of other things going on that will create that scenario. And I don't know if this is good news, bad news, Dave, because I really don't know what it has been in the past, but on Monday, Cyber Monday, shoppers spent $10.8 billion. I guess it is a record for the largest U.S. internet shopping day ever. And we'll finish that up when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
You know the past is a loser. The face you're wearing is different now. And the day is run hot cold. Are you under the power of gold? The power of gold.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Dave, I think everybody is looking for the end of this year to come to the end. 2020, everybody's looking forward to a 2021. I'm not sure if it will be, but we can always be hopeful that it might be. And so we were just talking about the online shopping, and I don't know all the numbers in here that Cyber Monday spending rose 15% over year. Now this is all according to Adobe Analytics. They analyze website transactions from 80 of the top 100 U.S. online retailers, and that came in short of Adobe's original forecast of $12.7 billion. And Adobe cuts its online sales forecast for the entire holiday season to $184 billion, which is 30% increase from last year. So big box companies like Walmart and Target started their deals in mid-October to coincide with Amazon Prime Day and plan to have more in the weeks ahead. And on Black Friday, customers made many of their purchases on companies' websites instead of in person.
Yeah, one of the things I found interesting about this was Adobe's finding that the number of orders picked up curbside was also up 30% from last year. I guess as shoppers seek out ways to retrieve their items more safely, items that they bought online, typically the same day. Many people apparently use their smartphones now to shop for deals as well, as retailers have been investing and promoting their mobile apps more. 37% of digital sales on Cyber Monday were made on mobile devices. Off the top of one's head, that just seems really high. I mean, who'd have thought 25 years ago or longer, when we first started going to malls, that later in our lives, we'd be seeing those malls close down because we were now shopping by phone. Wow. What a change it's been. Now, Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday also set records for online shopping, rising 22% on Thanksgiving Day from last year, $5.1 billion. Black Friday Online spending jumped about the same percentage to a total of $9 billion. So we sure do live in interesting times, Melody.
You know, we really do. And before we get to Levity is Golden, I just want to touch on this. Iran halts UN inspections of nuclear sites. The Iran's Guardian Council watchdog body approved a law today that obliges the government to halt the inspections, the UN inspections, of its nuclear sites and step up uranium enrichment beyond the limits set under the 2015 nuclear deal if sanctions are not eased in 2 months. So I guess it's an ultimatum that they're giving them?
Well, that's a good question. I'm almost reading it. I mean, wondering, is this their response to last week's assassination? Which would be interesting, rather than, you know, ratcheting up the military tension per se by, you know, executing a bombing of Israel, which could be catastrophic, particularly as, you know, there'd be a continuing tit for tat. Israel would certainly want to have the last word with that. This is another direction that certainly affects the balance in the Middle East as well. So, a concerning development in my own mind.
Well, it certainly is. Why don't you tell us about Levity is Golden?
Well, Melody, it's that time of year. Today's topic is, in a broad sense, normalcy, or at least one narrow glimpse of it. In a year of unprecedented change, one normal thing will come to life tonight as the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree in New York City has its annual lighting ceremony. Unfortunately, at least according to some, this year's tree looks as if it were grown on the island of misfit toys. As most Americans know, every year the Rockefeller Center erects its iconic Christmas tree. This year, the plush 75-foot Norway spruce, which sits gracefully on Rockefeller Plaza, is said to be massive and opulent, topped with a 900-pound Swarovski crystal. The flashy display normally signals to the city and America at large that the holiday season, brimming with loved ones, Yuletide cheer, and a whole lot of capitalism, has officially begun. This year, with holiday shopping having been underway for well over a month, it almost seems somewhat anticlimactic. Well, last week, the center gave a preview of the donated tree from a front yard in Oneonta, New York, that would adorn its plaza. The tree looked as healthy and lush as any mature plant that hadn't been uprooted and forced into transit would appear. But when that same tree arrived at Rockefeller Plaza last Saturday, it fittingly had very 2020 vibes. As a crane began to hoist the leafy lady upright, its branches began to fall, leaving noticeably large gaps in its greenery. In response to images and videos uploaded online of the shabby tree, Twitter users began to crack Charlie Brown jokes and note that the tree, much like the year most Americans have experienced, is the epitome of 2020. Yet, much like the seemingly inadequate gifts abandoned on the island of misfit toys in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer movie, many online felt the tree's imperfections had been judged too harshly. Some said it would look different when its branches had settled and it was decorated. One New Yorker, who said they had worked at Rockefeller Center on previous trees, noted that each year the tree looks like this at first. They go in and fill in the holes with loose branches and fluff it all up. And although the tree may not have been much to look at on the outside, turns out it contained one adorable stowaway inside, one who provided an early Christmas gift in the form of some very cute photos. Someone who worked for the company that transported the tree to Manhattan discovered a little small wet owl perched on its branches. The bird was taken to Ravensbeard Wildlife Center, where it's currently being cared for. Now here's another thing, oh so 2020 Melody. Even the Christmas tree is not immune to the pandemic. Tonight's lighting ceremony is closed to the public for the first time. Some TV news stations will carry the lighting live, and New York City reportedly will live stream it on its website. If you want to see the tree in person, however, you'll have to sign up online in advance for a specific time slot. Wait in line with your mask on in a socially distanced pod, and have a mere 5 minutes to look and snap your photos, and then being asked to move on. Perhaps that's why the New York Post's headline today is Bow Humbug. Looking at this from the owl's perspective, getting its home cut down and dragged almost 200 miles through the Catskills and down Palisades Freeway to its new Manhattan home probably was classic 2020. And that, Melody, is this week's Levity is Golden.
You know, it really is amazing that that owl was in there.
I know.
Traveled all that way.
Probably
and survived.
He said, boy, I'm glad I didn't eat before this trip.
That poor little thing.
Quite a shock. I wonder if this wildlife center will suggest or actually drive it, transport it back to Oneonta. Or wherever they think, I mean, it must have been living in there when it was taken down.
I mean, with all that noise with chainsaws taking the tree down, you would think, unless he was caught or something, and, you know, that's, you know, we don't know the condition of the owl, do we?
No, I didn't read anything about that.
Well, you know, again, we're going to talk about, you know, let me, you know, I think this is the story that bugged me the most, because of BlackRock, we know they're the elites company. We know they're handling all the feds, when the feds are buying the corporate debt, that they're all going through BlackRock. People who have been listening to this program for, you know, 15, 20 years, and when Bob Chapman was on there, he always talked about BlackRock. And now it's the elite. We know it's not a good company. And it looks like it's actually replacing Goldman Sachs. Is that a possibility? With the DC crowd, or maybe they have for a long time. I don't know, but there's a lot of them that are looking to be part of the next administration's.
It's executive team.
The executive team, and so I don't know. To me, it's not good news. Same old, same old. And there isn't anything that's going to change. It can't change. You can bring back all you want from any previous administration. It's not going to change anything. What made us come out of the Great Recession wasn't... Well, I mean, you had little Timmy Geithner in there and, you know, Bernanke coming in there and so forth. It was the Fed. It was the programs that were created. The money that was pumped in, bailing out the too big to fails. This company should have failed. We wouldn't be in the position we are today. Not to the extreme. So it was just another Band-Aid that was applied. So I don't care what administration that comes into office. It's just still another Band-Aid. They can't bring us out of the problems that we have because none of the problems are being addressed. They fluff them up with some sort of program or throw money at something And it gets us to the next day. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Eventually we're going to run out of those days. Dave, you know, I can't see why BlackRock would be any different than Goldman Sachs. They're all the same.
Well, in terms of influence peddling, I mean, it's been the most effective way, and this has gone on for over a century. I mean, administration after administration after administration, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, however you want to characterize these presidencies, their teams have been filled in a corrupting revolving door policy, coming in and going out. You know, when you have, you know, people, let's call them by name, Gary Cohn, Steve Mnuchin, former execs at Goldman Sachs. I mean, they're just some. I mean, you got guys, Henry Paulson. I mean, the list could take up an entire show. It's not to say that, you know, these people didn't have impressive credentials or that they didn't make positive contributions during their time in Washington. Some did more than others. I'll say that. But Goldman Sachs was known as Government Sachs for a reason. Top executives that land in the White House and then land back at the same or a similar bank in the same industry. It's not right, it's not healthy, it's wrong, and it's gonna come back and bite us time and time again, Melody.
And BlackRock is no different. It's just, as you said, it's with every administration.
Yep.
We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, listeners. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Have a plan. If I got me a well-being